Now, in the studio right now, I have Thora Rain. She is Chief Navigator. I'm going to say it all, actually, because I'm really impressed with this. Lead Practitioner and Founder of the Helpful Clinic that has solutions for us all dealing with stress, procrastination, anger and physical symptoms. And it's called a First Aid Kit for Feelings. And over to you, Thora. Good morning.
Good morning, Susie. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure to have you here. It's a really, really interesting, well, it is a very interesting subject, because how I term feelings as talking about feelings is quite taboo. But anyway, we'll go on to that later on. But I want to know literally about the Helpful Clinic and who you are and your background and your team. That's a big question, isn't it?
Well, let's just start. So the Helpful Clinic launched on the 1st of December 2015. So this January, we celebrated our first year by having like an Icelandic style kitchen waffle party.
Oh, that sounds good.
At our headquarters, which was lovely. So I'm originally from Iceland. I've been over here almost 20 years, actually.
Wow.
Which feels like a real treasure. I feel very lucky. I've got the kind of best of both worlds. And I set up the Helpful Clinic really because I'm really passionate about kind of keeping it real. And that's both keeping it real in terms of emotions, health, symptoms, just life stuff. And I find that often people get really stuck in, I don't know, positive psychology, and you're just supposed to kind of be positive about everything, and that solves
that's
cancer or whatever.
But that's a good point. Positive psychology, we're all taught to think like that.
It's sort of come through in the last 15, 20 years, and it's interesting because a lot of the research that I use to kind of inform clinical protocols draws on positive psychology. But I think what's happened, we created a hierarchy of emotions or states where certain states are just undesirable and certain states are really desirable. So we shouldn't be angry, we should always be happy. And what I find is a bit like driving with only using north-south on your sat-nav. It's like you keep moving, but you're not really going anywhere because you haven't got the east-west angle or axis. And so I personally find that looking at things like pain is just information. You know, what is triggering the pain? Why am I in pain? If I've broken my ankle, I need pain to let me know that I shouldn't walk on it.
So, Thora, you're talking about your own experience and you're recognising this, but as I said just before, taboo subject, feelings, isn't it? Because it's trying to recognise that we have these feelings that are not altogether positive.
Yeah.
And also wanting to talk to people about it. Now, there's two big hurdles there, isn't there?
There's two big hurdles. And I remember when I was very fortunate to get into something called the Cambridge Social Ventures, which is an incubator for sort of startups like ours, which has got a huge vision and a tiny budget. So I was really fortunate to get in there. And when I did my pitch to the panel, the guy sort of took me aside and said, "You really think you're going to be setting up business around feelings in England?" And he had a very strong accent, sort of very posh. I was like, "Yes, I do think there is a point," which has been interesting just to open up that conversation. And also in English, what I love about it is that feelings actually means both emotions, so like anger or happy or content or whatever, or also physical sensations. And I love the fact that it means the two, because I find it impossible to separate the two out.
Right.
If I'm angry, I have a physical reality to that. If I have a stomach ache, I will have some emotions about that. You know, these are completely interconnected states. And I think by separating them out all the time, we're actually missing a big piece of the puzzle.
So the course that you're offering is called, as I said before, it's the First Aid Kit for Feelings. And how would you want people to approach you on your course? What would be the first thing that you'd say? What would be the first instant that you think, actually, this would be a very good course for me?
So my question is always, is it helpful? Is my favourite question. I've had it for over a decade. So whatever it is that you're currently doing in response to, you know, dare I say the word feelings, is it helpful? So if your habit is just to get busy, or if your habit is to drink a bottle of wine every evening, or if your habit is to get really focused on your kid's sports day and actually ignore everything that's going on for you, just genuinely checking out, is that helpful? And I mean, I'm like, sure, if it feels helpful, keep doing that. But if it's not helpful, what would be helpful to check out instead? And also that kind of recognition between first aid and kind of further support. You know, like I often say, and if you break your leg, no amount of Band-Aid is going to really help, that you need to get to A&E. But by the same token, if you cut your finger, you don't go to A&E and say, well, you know, you need to be able to self-support and self-comfort, self-manage. And also what I've learned, particularly because I specialize in working with people with like Sherlock symptoms, I call them.
What are Sherlock symptoms?
It's just my kind of phrase. It's conditions like ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, chronic pain.
Oh.
It's these kind of conditions where you need to be a bit detective about how you work with them because they tend to be multisystemic. So more than one system in the body is involved.
Mm.
And as you work through something big as recovery, obviously you're working towards a longer term goal of full recovery or as good as you can manage. But as you're doing that, working towards a bigger goal, you need to be able to have something in the moment.
Yes. To cope with this?
To cope with it, to manage it, to ease your experience. You know, so it's that kind of first aid has its place. And I think often with recovery, in a way from anything, the focus is so much on the longer term that we haven't got practical, hands-on stuff to do in the moment. So to give you an example, one of the people that I work with, he realized that his laundry basket kept overflowing. And he got really fed up about that. But then we kind of got curious about what is it that happens that prevents you from doing your laundry? I mean, it's very basic.
Mm.
And then he realized his belief or his thought was always like, I'm too busy. And actually, and then he got to the point where he didn't have knickers and socks. And then he would get really angry for not having made time to do the laundry. But the laundry is a symptom. So that was in terms of just, you know, getting your life back on track. And I work with people on sort of high performance coaching. So people who live in very sort of intense work contexts, how to manage that without their health becoming the collateral cost.
Mm.
The same token, somebody who was working with their health, what they realized is that whenever they got anxious about a doctor's appointment or something, you know, they would phone their dad. But because when you're anxious, you want dad, don't you? But the thing is that dad was really quite an anxious guy. So what they'd end up doing is just get anxious together.
Yes.
And it was really unhelpful.
Yeah.
So what he did is he put a little index card in his first aid kit that says, when feeling anxious or when in doubt, don't call dad.
So this first aid kit, it's something that when you do this course, you can take it with you when you finish, and it's a guide for the rest of your life, and you have these lovely indicators. Obviously, they're going to help you along the way.
Yeah. It's basically just like with a normal first aid kit. You know, when you cut your finger, you don't traipse around the flat bleeding going, oh, what should I do about this? You actually know that you need a plaster.
Yeah.
And you know where it is. It's in that drawer in the kitchen or in the thing under the stairs. And it's the same thing. It needs to be outside of your head. And you need to know what to use when you don't put a plaster on a headache.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've talked about a particular case study, which was good because I was going to ask that question.
Mm.
You come from Iceland, which I hadn't realised. Of course, I should, because Thora is a very unusual name.
Very Viking name, yes.
Very Viking name, that's right. And would you say that Icelanders, is that what you say, are very calm, or are they similar to UK? Is it something in the environment that makes them... What do you think? Is that something that...
I mean, it's interesting because when I moved away from Iceland, I didn't feel that Icelandic.
Right.
And then within a very short space of time, I realized just how Icelandic I am. So I think that's fascinating. I talk about something called culturality, which is like a Venn diagram. So those of you who know a Venn diagram is like two circles that overlap between culture and personality. And it's about how much of my culture informs who I am. So I realized lots of the beliefs I had or the values or the kind of rules I had weren't Thora specific, they were Icelandic.
Right. So there is a little bit of Icelandic coming in here.
Absolutely.
Which is great.
But
I'm
now part English. I've been here so long. When I go home to Iceland, I keep apologizing.
I know, but I still like the Icelandic bit to it. So let's get down to the most important thing. To access this first aid course for feelings, there are different ways of doing it. You can do it. Workshops?
Absolutely. You can do a workshop in person. And actually, you can do it online now. So we're really proud of that. We've just launched an online... So
let's have the address. What's the address?
Yeah, so it's thehelpfulclinic.com/mykit. And so on there, you can click on Get My Online Course. And then you go across something called the Honesty Bridge, which is like four screens. And I feel so juiced about this. I mean, it is a bit of a social experiment, and I still don't know if it's going to work. But basically, you go across a few screens where you get asked a little bit about who you are and why you're doing it. But then we ask you, can you afford to pay the £90 for the course? And if you can, great, click this button. If you honestly can't pay it, click this button and we'll give you a free access code.
Ah, excellent.
So, and then, so it's because we really work on trust.
Yeah.
And sometimes people feel really shy about not being able to afford stuff. And we're like, don't pretend that you've got more money than you do. But by the same token, if you can afford to, like one person I worked with was having to discontinue sessions because she didn't have the money for it. And then it transpired she'd given her niece £1,000 to go on a holiday to Cornwall. So I was like, that's an interesting way of investing your money. Mm. You know, sometimes we have very peculiar beliefs about money and what we will give ourselves.
So this course is literally it's trying to get you to open up and think laterally and recognising that it is okay to talk about this. And as you say, simple things like putting the laundry basket first so that you're not tripping up on it. It's not overflowing. Yeah. It's not affecting you mentally. We all go through it. And the UK is particularly bad at not talking about things. Yeah. But you also talk about, just one last thing before we have to finish here, you talk about self-compassion in your blog.
Absolutely.
So that is something quite connected to this, isn't it?
It underpins everything.
Yeah.
And like the online course has got a whole section just about why do we have feelings at all? What's the point?
But self-compassion, I kept trying to work out because compassion we have for everybody else.
Yeah.
But you're talking about our own self, to have compassion for ourselves. First of all, to make space for everybody else. Yeah.
In my experience, it's like oxygen. And you know on the airplane when they say put the mask on yourself
first?
Yeah,
that's right.
Because otherwise you're just not going to be of use to anybody. If I haven't got enough kindness and support to myself, I'm really not genuinely of use to anybody else.
Yeah, it's a bit like keeping fit. If you keep fit, then you're going to be very, you'll be able to do other things as well.
Yeah, but also how do I know if I'm being compassionate to myself? Because sometimes we really don't have a clue how to do this.
Yes.
It's not like we learn algebra. We don't learn self-compassion.
Mm.
And the first place to look is how you talk to yourself. What's your inner dialogue like? What kind of conversation? Are you saying to yourself, you blithering idiot?
Yeah.
Or are you going, oh, like I say in Icelandic, oh, I just mean, really?
Yes. Questioning yourself. Thora, it's been great talking to you. It's a very, very interesting concept. And I'd like to put in the Icelandic bit because I think that's rather good. I like the Scandinavian countries. I like the way they think. And they've got a lot of good press recently about how to do things when it comes to women in work.
Absolutely.
And so I find this really, really refreshing. So I wish you all the best.
Thank you,
for this
Susie.
New launch of the first aid kit for feelings. And this is from the Helpful Clinic. And this is Thora Rain. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the show.
Thank you.